to order, and I'd like to welcome everyone here today. If the clerk would note the roll, then we will go to the minutes of March 10th. Representative Newman, did you have a chance to look at the minutes for March 10th?
I did.
Thank you. Representative Newman then moves the approval of the March 10th minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion then prevails. First item on the agenda today is House File 1868, and I will move House File 1868. Representative Biskins, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. House File 1868 has gone through some dramatic changes in working with the groups since it was first presented in government operations. There is no cost to this bill, and the only reason we're here now is because this is where it ended up at the request of the chairman when it was first heard in GovOps. But at this time, there is no longer any cost to the bill.
Okay, so Representative Biskins, all the money implications that would be addressed in our committee have been removed.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, so we really just need to move this bill back out and then to the general register?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Representative Hilty, did you have any comments on this, or did you have a chance to look at this?
Aye.
Okay. Just checking. All right, so I will then renew my... Is there anyone here to testify on this bill? Okay. Then I'll renew my motion that House File 1868 be recommended pass and put on the general register. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you
very
much.
Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Representative Wilkins. And I will move House File 2199. Be recommended pass and be re-referred to the general register. I believe this one goes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Representative Wilkins.
Mr. Chairman, this is the lottery bill that basically came out of the recommendations after the Office of Legislative Auditor audited and made recommendations. There's been a few additional technical things added based on what the interim director has found to be some issues, and there's another technical amendment here. I won't really go into the details of the bill, Mr. Chairman, because I know your members have already seen that in GovOps, and you're focused on the financial side. But the fiscal note has zero, so that's always nice.
Okay, Representative Wilkins, you have a technical amendment, which is the 1133? Okay. So I will move the 1133 amendment to put the bill in order and make the technical changes. Any discussion on that? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion then prevails. All right, so that one is on. We have another amendment, the 1134 amendment, and I will move the 1134 amendment. And members, what this does is delete section 1 or 2. What it does is takes out the performance goals that were set in the policy in an amendment, and I just think that we need to remove goals out of there and let the task force work on developing their own procedures as they go forward, so, and not have any legislative direction on what they should be doing or shouldn't be doing. This is kind of a different animal, I feel, than a state agency or anything like that. And so I think we need to let the task force just do their work. Any discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilty.
Given that the goals as outlined in Section 2 are as general as just returning maximum proceeds, it's difficult to see what any alternative would be. Would a goal that might be worked out instead be to return less than maximum proceeds to the state? I mean, this seems to me to be so general and unarguable that I don't really see any harm in leaving it in the bill.
Well, Representative Hilty, right now, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to visit the lottery, but they're actually looking at a whole process to develop their goals and their mission statement and things like that. And I think this is a function of the lottery to come up with that and then report back to the task force on what they found, and then let the task force make recommendations as they go forward. There's really no need to put a mission statement in the legislation for the lottery. Let them develop their own mission statement.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rhodes.
If the goal is to have, Mr. Chairman and members, if the goal is to have maximum profits, you could technically say we're going to cut everything out to have all the profits and just cut out every expense. You're going to wind up saying we won't do this, we won't do that, but we'll show 100% profit because we won't have any expenses. But the profit, what I think we want to have is a good return for the investment that's profitable for the state that makes the whole system work. So I guess, and with Minnesota values of how we're going to go about it. If you want maximum profit, we could have credit cards being accepted at gas station pumps for games. We could have credit cards be able to purchase. Right now, you can't. They could do all kinds of internet stuff, all kinds of things. But what is our Minnesota values of what we want to go with, which is part of their goals anyway? And maybe you should just tell them what your premise of your is. I don't know if you got it down or something. But about the Minnesota values, we want to maximize profits, but we want to make sure that Minnesota's interest in what the population would like. So you got to be careful a little bit. And I think we've been working on it. I think Mr. Beckwith would
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Vekic, and if you state your name and organization you represent, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Vekic, Acting Director of the Minnesota State Lottery. Thank you, Representative Rhodes. I agree. The fact is that what we're putting together right now that you and Representative Haas were able to see is that we've been working pretty strongly on a strategic plan. We've got a vision in place, a mission, and we're working on strategic initiatives. And so what we're taking a look at, we're going to be looking at all issues relative to how we maximize profits. This amendment, I believe, as I would view it, is to maximize profits. I think you have to take us down the road right now, and I think it's premature. And yes, you should hold the lottery accountable to a good business plan, and that's what I think you should focus on.
Okay. Further discussion, Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, what order of business are we on this 1134 amendment?
That is the amendment we're on, Representative Kahn.
Okay, which, as I see, appears to take out the language that I put in the GovOps committee.
That is correct, Representative Kahn.
Okay. And, you know, I've heard this argument before about the that we'll have all kinds of terrible games and so forth. First of all, if we want to, we can define it as identified by the legislature. But I really think that these are the two things that the report, legislative auditor's report, identified. These are two things that the was a problem. These were two things that the environmental groups identified. And so, frankly, if we're going to take this out, I would like a roll call vote on it.
Okay, Representative Kahn. Request a roll call vote. Roll call will be taken. Other discussion? Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Chair. And I voted against putting this language in GovOps, maybe for different reasons, but I didn't think there's enough nuance in talking about maximizing proceeds. That's not all that we should be concerned about with regard to the lottery. And so in some sense, I'm concerned about actually putting that purpose because it's excluding everything else. And so that's my inclination right now is to favor the amendment for that reason, and I'd like to have maybe some more discussion about that issue.
Yeah. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd be, I don't know if it's the right verb, but use it as a verb, but I'd be perfectly happy to nuance this a little bit more to talk about, but I don't think taking it out is the way to go. I think we could have discussions about what we mean I think we could have some more discussions about what we mean, but I just find it very difficult to understand why even acting lottery director, objects to having these two things, as goals. I think, for example, this language, as identified by the Constitution and the legislature, gives us lots of things to talk about, how we want it to be done. And I don't mind language about respectful of Minnesota traditions or anything, or respectful of environmental, maybe the tickets should even be printed on recycled paper or something like that. And the computers should be disposed of, and they shouldn't buy any computers unless they come with a recycling clause in the contract or something like that. But I just don't, and I would have no objection to working on modifying the language as it goes through. But I just think those two, I'm more disturbed at the objection to those two pieces of languages than I am to want to defend that they're perfectly written and that they're exactly what we should be saying. I want to know why we don't want the lottery, why we don't, and I think there's a lot of language in the Constitution in terms of the Environmental Trust Fund and so forth. I think that there's, I don't think that's as naked a sentence as it looks like from here. And I don't understand why the director shouldn't be accountable.
Representative Kyle, we're not saying the director isn't accountable. We're allowing the lottery to develop their goals and mission statement and how they're going to operate and then report back to the respective committees. We're already in this process now. It's quite a lengthy process that the lottery has been going through to develop mission statements and core function and where they're going and how they're going to do all this. And I think we, Representative Thiessen's right. He wants more stuff in here. How far do we go to micromanage setting their goals and objectives and that? And so I think, less government in this situation is better, because all of a sudden we're going to bog down the lottery maybe in something, in a direction we don't want to go. And I think we got to trust the people that are over there that are now reorganizing the lottery, that they know what they're doing. And from what I've observed in my visit the other day and the discussion with the employees and the presentation that we saw, I was quite impressed at how far they've come at developing and bringing in all the lottery employees and all their input. And there's been a tremendous amount of input from lottery employees as far as, what they should be doing, the direction they should go, and all those are being looked at. And I don't want to see anything that would start tying the hands of that interaction. And I feel this amendment starts tying hands because it starts giving direction.
Now, Mr. Chairman, it seems like it's a very sensible direction. It's a very sensible direction to give. I don't think it has the negative effects that Representative Rhodes suggested. If Representative Thiessen wanted to identify any extra language, I think he saw the, I agreed to the issue of not micromanaging the lottery. Well, first of all, I voted not to form it. Once that happened, I agreed with the issue of not micromanaging all along. And I just see that, I think that we went a little too far in not requiring a little bit more accountability than we did. I'm still going to hold my, I'm still terribly saddened by the untimely death unnecessary death of Mr. Anderson. But, I do believe that it's appropriate for the legislature to look at this a little more. But I just think if anyone thinks that they should vote against those, that those two sentences are wrong, they should just then vote. They should vote for the amendment to pull them out, and I intend to vote no on
it. Okay. Representative Hilton, you had your hand up, I believe.
Well, Mr. Chair, my point in bringing this up initially, and what I still think is valid and probably a response to Representative Rhodes, is that I don't think it precludes anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that much more specific language cannot be evolved and added to this. this is a very broad, general direction that doesn't at all specify means or specific goals, and I would presume that these would be added and that there would be a lot of definition and direction added to this, but I tend to agree with Representative Conn that it doesn't hurt to have some general starting point.
Okay. Representative Rhodes.
Thank you. And first of all, Representative Conn, I don't think anybody's said I was negative for a long time, so
no.
Let me put it in a more positive sense. I want the lottery to do as extremely well as they possibly can, because I want that money to go to the environmental as much as possible, as we all do. I think we'd all agree with that. And I think we all agree that we want to be successful. And I think we all agree that there's a new, and unfortunately, untimely death of Mr. Anderson, but we have a new group in that has taken to heart the recommendations and worked with Mr. Nobles, has virtually accomplished more than half of the issues already in a short time, has empowered the staff for the first time to be able to talk about where they want to envision where they want to go, has always kept in, they could do all kinds of things, but is this in Minnesota values, that's part of their tentative plan of keeping it in check with how we would like it to be, because I'm sure there's things that you don't want to see them do, even if it does maximize profits. And the other thing is we don't want them to be able to circumvent them from making money. This is a different state agency. It's a different breed of cat, in a sense, that we need to be able to have the lottery to be very successful, because it's a profit maker for a state agency. And we all, when the Constitution was changed to have a state lottery, we want the best one we can possibly have. And we have a chance to have a redoing of a lottery that's going to be even more successful. I think your sales are up,
yes,
anyway. And this is just, even with your changes that you've started to make, and that has been a whirlwind of change. And change is hard, but change is positive. But let them come up with what they have. In fact, I don't know if you can give us kind of like a little rundown of where you are, like the mission statement and all those things of where you are as far as your strategic plan. I know it's not in place yet, but just maybe you can just give us an enlightenment, and that may help Representative Thiessen as well.
Mr. Vekich.
Mr. Chairman and members, we have, in the 30 days that I've been there, have accomplished a lot of work. First, as relates to the audit findings, we are about 68% through the 49 findings. I intend to have about 90-plus percent done by the end of this month. The remaining 3 to 4 items refer to the issues surrounding advertising and the promotion, which will take a little bit longer as we develop our communications plan around that. But I'm assuming by the end of April that we're going to be pretty well along down the road. I've engaged all 156 employees in the lottery as involved in this process and provided information as a very detailed SWOT analysis, which is identifying our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And from there, we have developed a draft vision and mission. We've developed values that we're going to operate under. We've looked at defining our business that's here. And I have to remind you that this is a business first, and it has to have a governmental wrapper on it. We've gone as far as to develop some very broad initiatives as it relates to the strategic direction. So we're in the very beginning parts of that. And being held accountable, absolutely. We should hold a lottery as accountable as any board of directors, as yourself, would hold a lottery to it. But looking at how we maximize profits is that we're looking at every aspect of how to maximize profits. So how do you identify maximization of profits? My view and somebody else's view are sometimes going to be worlds apart as it relates to those items. But we're going to be looking at items that potentially could be controversial for you to look at and say, we don't want you going down that arena. Well, the purpose says I have to maximize profits. So therefore, how do you define that? So I believe we're premature in this. I've only been here 30 days, and we've accomplished a lot. And I indicated before we're going to be putting together a strategic plan With that plan, we'll record, involve a business plan with numbers surrounding that, and I think we need some time. This bill was put together between Representative Wilkin, Senator Rest, the governor's office, and myself. In the general tone of where we're going, on here has been agreed to among the four, and I believe it's a good bill. I think the task force that's going to be taking a look at the governance issues will be able to work together and come back with a plan that I believe you're going to be happy with. And a part of that plan is obviously to make as much money as possible. But there may be some issues as you look at this and say, we don't want you going down that road. We don't want you using credit cards because that can maximize profits. Or being on every Minsky campus, for example. And that's not what I'm suggesting. But as you look at maximizing profits, we have to look at everything as a part of that. And I want to have an opportunity to do that. I've been here 30-plus days, and we've accomplished a lot. So I'm asking you, is give me an opportunity to get the thing turned around and present a plan to you that makes sense.
Thank you. Representative Thiessen.
Well, I think that the acting director, I guess, kind of spoke to, I mean, to maximize profits, you know, the best thing to do probably would be to advertise extensively in very poor neighborhoods because that's where, you know, the best market is. Or that may be the issue, you know. So maximizing profits is not always consistent with the direction we want to go. And I don't think, and I think we're locking ourselves in. So,
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The acting director has answered my question.
Okay. Representative Kahn.
So, Chairman, could I ask to let Mr. Curry?
Yes, I have him on the list to come up. So, Mr. Curry, you want to make a statement?
Thank you.
Okay, identify yourself for the record and who you represent. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm John Curry, Legislative Director with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. For those of you who are not familiar with it, we're the organization that did the report a little over a year ago. Brought it to the legislature, got some media attention, and here we are today. The thing that I want to add to this conversation that you're having right now is I think there's some good discussion, number one, about doing running a lottery consistent with the dignity of the state. That is language that we had in the committee, in the Government Operations Committee that was deleted, that the committee may wish to consider putting that back in, something to that effect. Secondarily, there's some good discussion about not micromanaging the lottery, and that's consistent with the type of lottery that we would like to see run in the state. But let me offer a couple of things for your information about how the lottery is micromanaged by the legislature already. There are six key variables to a lottery's finances. Number one are retailer payments, two, advertising, three, promotions, four, administration, five, prize payouts, and six, profits. Of those, the legislature establishes in statute a floor for which they pay the retailers. You can go above that, but you can't pay less than that. They establish a cap on advertising. That has served as a guide for the lottery of what they can and should be spending. For promotions, there's a cap. Again, it's a guide of what they should be spending. Administration, there's a cap. And for prize payouts, there's a floor. On all of those five variables, the legislature has already meddled. The sixth variable, profits back to the state, were oddly silent, whereas most state lotteries that we've looked at have something in there about expectations. Sometimes it's a hard ratio or a hard percentage back to the state. The legislation before you right now that is being possibly amended out simply says let's keep our eye on the prize, let's make sure that we reward those 78% of the voters who said we want to have a lottery that will bring funds back into the state for the Environmental Trust Fund and general fund revenues.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion? If not, clerk will take the roll.
Haas?
Yes.
Jacobson? Guilty?
No.
Cornish?
Yes.
Kahn?
No.
Newman?
Yes.
Hamar?
Yes.
Rhodes?
Yes.
Seifert?
Yes.
Strawn? Thiessen?
Yes.
I have 7-3. Seven ayes and three noes. The amendment fails.
Okay. I have another amendment.
Is that A1 amendment, Representative Kahn? Representative Kahn moves the A1 amendment. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, this, my hope is that it does, I think, it adds and profitability again into the plan, and it also says that the task force shall examine the feasibility and desirability of establishing measurable performance goals for proceeds in operation. It certainly backs off very much off. The profitability is something, it's the first place that we say that we'll have to look at whether it's profitable or not, and we'll also look at should we have measurable performance goals for lottery proceeds in operation.
Okay. Representative Wilkins.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate what Representative Kahn is trying to do. I would oppose the amendment, though. The intent of the task force is to work on the organizational issues. This has been agreed to by Senator Rast, myself, and the administration. I hope we don't get mission creep before we even get the task force set up. So I'd ask that members oppose the amendment.
Okay. Representative Kahn?
Mr. Chair, I find that's just incredible. Would you please explain what's wrong with each word in it? Let's explain on page 2 why we shouldn't look at page 2, line 35, why you don't want to look at profitability, why they shouldn't look at profitability.
I think that can be done by the legislature in future years. Let's get the organizational issues that cause the problems taken care of first. That's the idea of the task force. Once we get the organizational changes and the changes that Mr. Beckwith is working on, next year we can come back and take a look at some of these issues, but we don't need to do it in this bill.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, you may have more time than I, but I don't understand why we should come back next year. I think the report, the legislative order, the first report from the environmental community, legislative auditor's report said that profitability ought to be set. That's what the criticisms of the legislature was. The lottery was, that it was less profitable than other lotteries. Why shouldn't we also, in the second line, why shouldn't we also have them look at the feasibility and desirability of establishing measurable performance goals? I mean, these are such general statements. I just can't understand your opposition. And I guess I'll just ask for another roll call vote. If people are very comfortable with having looked at the problems of the lottery, people have looked at first the report from the environmental community and then the legislative orders a report, and not putting these corrections in there and let your constituents know that you don't care about it.
Well, Representative Kahn, I don't think it's a matter of not caring. It's the fact that we got to start someplace. This starts the middle of the process, not let them get their organization and ducks in a row and then move forward into other steps. And that's the problem. We could put performance goals into the task force, comes out, the legislature looks at it and says, oh, that's a recommendation, let's do it. And it may not be feasible to look at that. And that's why I think we got to get all the information gathered, let them do their job, and then start looking at that process. But it's just premature for this amendment at this point.
Mr. Chairman, read the language.
I have read it.
Examine the feasibility.
That's right.
If they think it's not feasible, that's all they have to say, is that it's not feasible to do that. But the point is to say, when they come back and we say, well, did you think about performance goals? You know, here, after all, that was the problem, that the lottery didn't have any, and that's what the group said was the problem. Did you think about it? Said, oh, no, we never thought about it. In fact, since the legislature voted out that we had to do it, we didn't even want to do it because we thought that would be going against legislative intent.
But, Representative Kahn, I just want to correct you. I started this process 4 months before any other group was involved in questioning the lottery on where they're going, what they're doing, what they're spending their money on, and things like that. So this process was started long before any group came forward with a report to look at all these expenses and start calling accountability for what the lottery was doing. So the process was started, and the environmental group did help with the issue to move it along and bring it more to the forefront. And so, to give one group all the credit, it was an effort that we were all looking at and trying to call accountability, so.
Okay, terrific. Now, Mr. Chairman, since you have this extra degree of responsibility, please explain to me why you object to looking at profitability besides just organization on line two, page 2, line 35, and on page 3, why you think they shouldn't examine the feasibility and desirability. It doesn't say adopt your measurable performance goals for lottery proceeds and operations. It says, while you're looking at all these things, just look and see if it's feasible and desirable to establish these. Now, just if you could just slowly and calmly tell me.
Are you telling me to take a chill pill?
Tell me why you object to both of those lines specifically. Other than general languages that don't tie their hands. I want to tie their hands to make them look at those two things.
First of all, when you look at advertising, where are we getting the best bang for our dollar? So they're going through and reorganizing that. They've looked at canceling the contract. They're going to be putting this all out for bids. That'll change our whole direction. We can start monitoring the advertising, but we're not going to know, you know, what our outcomes are and what our return on our investment into that advertising are right away. So if we start putting this into a task force or directing them to do that now, they don't know. They have to do some work in order to start setting goals for themselves to say, okay, if we spend a dollar in advertising, is it going to, and we target this market, is it going to give us $2 back, $3, $4? This is something that hasn't been done in the past. You know, it was always Mr. Anderson saying, you know, when we started questioning about this, you know, he said, well, this returns so many dollars. Well, there was no backup information. It was his best guess. There's a process you have to go through. It's looking at all the expenses. You know, look at operating expenses for lease space. Have you been over that building to see how much room they actually occupy compared to the space they have? And then all the other lease space that we have throughout the state, this is all under scrutiny right now to look to see what is most cost effective. How do we serve our customers? And then how do we, you know, what is the best way to go? What expense do we incur to serve those customers, and how do we do it efficiently? And these are all things. To start setting things up or trying to micromanage it, we're not to the point where we can make those decisions. These are all a process that we have to go through. The process is now being, they're working on it. And, you know, are our systems that are delivering the communications and all that, you know, the most efficient way to do it, the most cost effective? This is stuff that they all have to look at. What it does in the end is it provides us with data that we know, okay, now we can set our goals. This is what we're going to set for advertising. This is the direction we're going to go, develop your mission statements, get everything set up, then bring it back to the legislature. But there's, you know, it's like you can't take the test before you do your homework and prep before time. And we're kind of going right to the test with this. And I think we got to let the lottery do their job at doing their homework, getting all this data put together, get this thing, you know, get a handle on what they can really do over there for us, and then move forward.
Well,
so is that calm enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely exceed me in calmness. But Mr. Chairman, in fact, if I hadn't listened to your conclusion first, I would have thought that you were making a speech in favor of my amendment. It sounded exactly like it, that you said the legislature should be involved in these things. We should let them have a lot of, we should let them have rein to come back with their report. And this just adds the merest, smallest guidelines to the things that they should be looking at as they do it. And I would think their answer is that this is unnecessary because we're definitely going to do it, but, you know, we'll put it in anyway, just because we don't want to refuse to put it in. I think that's what you're saying. I can't imagine, you know, again, if you read those reports or if whatever your motives were to look at other, you know, I can't imagine that profitability wasn't an important aspect of what we were doing. And I can't imagine that we wouldn't want to just, I can't imagine any more gentle words than such as examine the feasibility and desirability. I mean, the answer is we looked at it. If they don't want to do it, if they don't want to have measurable performance goals for lottery proceeds and operations, which your speech just said they needed, and they were going to have a problem getting them, To examine them and they're not feasible and desirable. So all they have to say. So one answer. And I don't understand why we don't want to put these two, this word and this phrase into the bill. So
represent.
I ask my roll call again.
But it's all noted.
Okay.
Represent Teason. Okay. Represent Rhodes.
Well, you know, very calmly and very collectively. I think what I hear you saying is that you like the verbiage in here about examine the feasibility. These words you think should be part of,
sure.
Okay. But I also heard you saying if they choose to go a little bit different, this they said at least we examine the feasibility. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So the question I would have then, if you want to get this in statute, why don't we change the shall to a may? You have your language in. They don't have to accept it. But on the other side of the coin, which is what you said, correct? But you have it then in place of what you want. Now, how would that grab it?
That would just be fine. I would accept that as an amendment.
Okay, I'm not offering, I'm discussing. I'm trying to bring this to a little more of a discussion. I don't know how the author even feels about that.
The may would be fine.
Okay.
The may would be fine, because then they would come, whatever, the same thing. They would come back and say, well, we didn't want to examine it.
I'd like to know how the author feels about that.
Representative Walker.
I think this language's direction is good, and gives it an even wimpier. I didn't think it was possible to make it more wimpy, but
okay, guys. Representative Wilkin.
Mr. Chairman, I'd prefer C, none of the above. I think what we're debating here is making the task force into the board of directors, which we're trying to have the task force determine that we should even have a board of directors. They're going to have to spend substantial additional time to understand the finances of the lottery, which are not necessarily simple, and all the interactions, all to come up with possible performance goals that I don't think any of us really want in statute. So where are we going with it? We don't want these things in statute. Mr. McElroy has also already indicated that he would like the lottery to do some benchmarking and to do some of this kind of stuff. This is a management decision that will be pushed by the administration. They're already predisposed to that. Let's let management do what management does.
Representative Kahn, follow up.
Mr. Chairman, I have an election certificate that says that I'm empowered to point management in the direction I think they should go. And if you think your election certificate, well, you're not on this committee, so you don't get to vote. But if anyone who thinks their election certificate doesn't entitle them to do that, then should vote no on my amendment.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, clerk will take the roll.
Haas?
No.
Jacobson?
Yes.
Guilty?
Yes.
Cornish?
No.
Kahn?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
Paymar?
Yes.
Rhodes?
No.
Seifert?
No.
Strawn? Thiessen?
Yes.
6-4. Okay. Amendment passes 6-4. Congratulations, Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Representative Rhodes.
On the bill. I just want to double check. This deals with the dollars issue here. The dollars that we have in the bill here are correct. Is that correct? On page 3, line 30, I just want to make sure that is correct.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Rhodes, yes.
Mr. Beckett.
That's fine.
Okay. Further discussion on House File 2199? If not, I'll renew my motion that House File 2199 be recommended pass and be referred to the General Register as amended. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion then prevails. Thank you, Representative Wilkin. Okay, Representative Coles, welcome to the committee. And Representative Newman, do you want to move House File 1798?
Where's it going?
General Register. on this one.
So move,
Wait, hold on.
Ways and Means.
We got to go to Ways and Means. So, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, then Representative Coles, welcome to the committee, and you can present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the fourth stop for this bill. I think everybody's seen it in at least one of the three policy committees. I'm happy to discuss the policy if members wish. This is an initiative from the Secretary of State's office. Make some changes with regard to UCC filings, online registration for various business filings. I can go into more detail on the policy if the chair or members would like, but I do have Bert Black from the Secretary of State's office to discuss the fiscal implications of the bill. I guess I'd like a little guidance from the chair as to the direction you'd like me to take this.
All right. Representative Coles, we want to talk about the fiscal impact of this, so Mr. Black, if you're welcome to the committee, if you'd like to tell us about the money.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bert Black, a business and legal analyst with the Office of the Secretary of State. And basically, there are five areas where there are expenditures, but the net effect is very, very small. In this bill, we are eliminating several bond filing requirements. We will save, as a result of these bond filing eliminations, about $500 worth of staff time per year. I want to indicate that I've made a grievous error in the fiscal note. Under bonds, I indicated that there are no revenues, and in fact, there were two bond filings last year which generated $20. So please make that oral note to your fiscal note. With respect to auctioneers, in this state we have both a county and a central filing of auctioneers. You file with the county, they send on a copy and a $10 check to the Secretary of State's office. We're proposing to eliminate that central filing. We'll save, about $600 in staff time. There are 330 auctioneers. There will be, the counties will no longer have to mail in that $10 check. So they'll be able to keep an additional $3,300 worth of the filing fee that the auctioneers, there have been some auctioneer members in the legislature. I think the late Representative Brown and Senator Stump are auctioneers. So we do have a few of them around the state. With respect to online annual filings, we have really no particular impact there, but that's about half of the text of the bill. We're proposing that online filings in the Uniform Commercial Code, that those online filings be given a price break, that the price, which is currently $20, be reduced to $15. It's our anticipation, and you'll see the calculations for that on page 6 of the fiscal note. You'll notice that there is a reduction in the dollar amounts available to the general fund as a result of that of $260,000. However, there are about 1,000 filings each week that are made with the counties on paper in the satellite offices. And we anticipate that with a price break for the online filings, that about a third of those documents will in fact be filed online. And that would be new revenue, new market share at least, to the state. And that's a $15 per filing increase times about 350 documents per week. And so that actually makes up for, and slightly more than makes up for, the revenue that's lost on the price break. Finally, we have the largest chunk of this fiscal note is a wash. It's the transfer of the notary function. Notary registrations in Minnesota are currently done with the Department of Commerce. A long time ago, they were done with the Secretary of State's office. That we have been in discussion with the Department of Commerce And it's our intention to have a transfer of that function, and they've agreed, and that's proposed in this bill. The fees are not changing. The costs of the registration function, there's language in the bill that would take that to the Department of Finance would allocate those in the base budget to the Secretary of State's office for the registration function and the Department of Commerce for the enforcement function. And all of that would not start until the next biennium, July 1, 2005, because frankly, unwinding this function in the middle of a biennium is exceedingly difficult. So there will be a chance by the next legislature, of course, to look at that as well. And so, Mr. Chairman and members, that's essentially the bill and the fiscal impact, and I'd be glad to take any questions that you might have.
Mr. Black, it's kind of curious. Going through here, and I see a lot of annual filings, which is really paper-intensive and staff-intensive. You know, to do this because you got time on all of them. I know over in the Commerce Department, my insurance licenses are renewed every 2 years, and I pay, you know, a double the fee. But it's got to relieve them of paperwork when only half of the agent's licenses are up a year. It's easier to manage rather than having them go every year like they used to be. And I'm wondering, why do we have to have so many annual filings coming out of the Secretary of State's office? Can't we do some of these or look at some of these being every 2 years or maybe every 3 years and charging the appropriate fee so that we don't have to, you know, we'd be more efficient in what we do?
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, thank you for the question. I think that you'll find, first of all, that in this bill we are going to an online filing. We already have online filings. We're going to an online filing requirement after calendar year 2004. In the first 9 weeks of 2004, we received over 45,000 online filings. And so actually it's our intention, and our customers I think are picking up on this, not to have any paperwork at all in terms of these annual filings. It actually takes about 30 seconds to go on the website and do the annual registration for your corporation, LLC, nonprofit, or whatever kind of business entity you might have. So that is actually very efficient because the data goes right into the database. The database is updated, and that is about the most efficient, I think, that we can get. I might add that there is no fee if you are on time for your business corporation, limited liability company, or nonprofit annual report. There is no fee. There's only a fee if you're late. And so, and frankly, the institution of a fee itself costs money. It costs money to then process the checks that come in. If somebody sends in a document without a check, there's a rejection that needs to be made. And so we think that not having that fee right now is very efficient. And it also allows us to make the online filing process really a 30-second process. I might add that there are, this is the, I only have one of these because it's a very thick book, but I have the annual report of the International Association of Commercial Administrators here. And this report indicates, so you'll see here there are at least 40 other states that have annual reports of this kind. So, Mr. Chairman, I respectfully suggest that one of the goals of this bill is to make our annual report function even more efficient than it is right now.
All right. We have, Representative Coles, we have a small amendment we have to make to your bill. On page 15, line 1, we need to strike 2005-2006.
Yes.
And insert 2006-2007. Representative Newman, you're making that motion?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any discussion? If not, all in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion then prevails. Okay, any other changes or corrections? Any discussion on this bill? All right. Representative Newman then renews his motion that House File 1798, as amended, be recommended pass and be referred to the Committee of Ways and Means. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, excuse me, we have one person wants to testify. I'm sorry, sir. If you'd come up and identify yourself for the record, whom you represent, you may proceed.
My name is Don Dane from Woodbury. I guess I represent just the average Minnesota citizen. Okay. I organize with no organization at all. 5 years ago, I first heard about this bill, and I was opposed to it then just because I think it's bad government. And it resurfaced a few days ago, and I guess I'm back saying the same thing I did 5 years ago. Previously, it was in the Ways and Means Committee when I caught it 5 years ago. And I guess if it passes here, I'll go back to the Ways and Means Committee and give it another shot. What I suggest is that we delete sections 2 through 11, anything dealing with the annual registration. I think this new language is a lot worse than what we have now. What I see in the new law, if a corporation forgets to file an annual form with a Secretary of State every year, then the corporation will be secretly dissolved without any written notice through the post office. The result, I think, will cause enormous legal problems if all at once a corporation who thinks they're a corporation secretly no longer becomes a corporation. I think the minimum is that the state should at least send the corporation a letter saying your corporation has been dissolved and you can be reactivated if you do something within 60 days or something to that effect. What the law says right now is that a corporation has to miss their annual filing 3 years in a row before they finally get a written notice from the post office or through the post office saying if you don't do something in a couple of months, we are going to dissolve your corporation. And typically, you know, that gets some action from somebody. But the idea of switching it from 3 months failing to file down to 3 years failing to file down to 1 year, I don't see any good reason for it. And I also don't see any good reason for no longer warning corporations that they are going to be dissolved. We're issuing terrible penalties to Minnesota citizens, and there does not seem to be any commensurate benefit that justify those terrible penalties. The Secretary of State, what did they say the benefit? That the Secretary of State said the reason for these annual filings is that when a corporation stops using its name, that they want that name to be available for any other Minnesota citizen to use. For example, we used to have a Dayton department store, and before that it was called Dayton Dry Goods Stores. There's no longer any department store called Dayton's. And so the theory here, according to the Secretary of State, is since Dayton is not calling the store Dayton's, anybody else should be able to start a store and call it the Dayton store, or the Dayton Dry Goods, or Dayton whatever. The problem is that even though Dayton's no longer has a store, they still keep maintaining the file with the Secretary of State, and they have the right, they have the only right to use the name Dayton, or Dayton Dry Goods, or Dayton Corporation, or Dayton Company. All of those are still being continued by Dayton, so nobody else can use the name Dayton, even though that's the apparent purpose of this annual registration, is to free up names. And it's not working. I think there's other ways to do it. There's 160,000 corporations that have to file this piece of paper every single year. They send in something to the Secretary of State's office. I understand for the past year or so, the Secretary of State doesn't even read these forms when they come in. They put them in a box and put them in a warehouse somewhere. So why are we causing Minnesota corporations to go through all of the trouble under, you know, severe penalties to file these papers if nobody in the state's reading the papers? I think the way the problem can be solved, I haven't worked out the details, but if the state wants to free up these unused corporate names so other people can use them, and that's the only name or the only justification for this, I think there should be a procedure where if you realize the Dayton store is closed and you think maybe you would like to start a store called Dayton's, that maybe you should have some way to send them a registered letter. to Dayton saying, can I use your name? And if you don't get an answer back, then maybe the Secretary of State sends a registered letter. And if the second time you don't get an answer, then the Secretary of State can send them a letter saying, if you don't do something in 30 days, we're going to dissolve your corporation. Or some sort of escalating thing like that by mail. I'm guessing we'd be probably talking a couple hundred letters a year of people trying to use names instead of Minnesota citizens having to file 160,000 pieces of paper a year for the sole purpose of finding which names are available for new corporations. I guess the main things I object to is they're eliminating the warning that a corporation is going to be dissolved by U.S. mail. I think what they're going to do is send out stuff by email if you have your email address. You know, if you switch your email address to try to get rid of spam, then you're never going to get the warning from the Secretary of State. Secondly, I object to the Internet use only. The only way to file in the future is going to be by the Internet, and I think there are a lot of people who simply don't use the Internet. I object to having the penalty go in after 1 year of not filing instead of the 3 years. I guess that's it. I think it's a bad idea. There are very few benefits that are commensurate with the terrible penalties that they're putting on corporations for forgetting to file the red tape. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Questions for the testifier? All right. Mr. Black, the gentleman brings up some very valid points. Could you address those?
I'd be glad to, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Krakowski.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity. I did meet Mr. Our witness today, Mr. Dinn, about 5 years ago, and we always have a pleasant time discussing this, but I must point out a couple of things. First of all, on page 3, lines 9 through 14, you'll see that we do provide notice to corporations which are being dissolved. So I guess I would take issue with any sort of suggestion that this is being done in secret. Also on page 3, please notice that you can reinstate, and this is language that has been very carefully worked out over the years with the Bar Association to maximize the return of the corporate entity to its maximum possible status in a seamless way back to the date of dissolution. So, in fact, I'm not sure that there are any terrible penalties that are not solvable by filing the registration with, at that point when you're late, there is a $25 fee. The trend among the states and among state agencies is to go to online registration. And so that is something that we are following. There are other states that are only taking documents of this kind online. The 1 year point that he raises, that is the norm among the states, and in fact it's the norm in Minnesota for nonprofit corporations and limited liability companies. So we're talking about an internal inconsistency that we're trying to solve. I might point out about the reinstatement that this is something that, in fact, was discussed with the Bar Association, and they are very interested in making sure that they can reinstate at any time, reinstate these business corporations at any time. The current law does not allow for reinstatement. If you miss the 3 years and you get a notice, right now you get a postcard notice, as the witness indicated, you have an additional year to file. If you don't file, at the end of that time, you are dissolved without the benefit of reinstatement. That is a terrible penalty because at that point you have irreversible tax and contract and license issues that arise. So, Mr. Chairman, we have thought of the issues that the witness has brought forward. We believe that this language here is meant to address those issues as well as the existing issues that both the Bar Association has brought forward and also that efficiency requires in this modern day and age. And I, if I've missed any of his points, I'd be glad to for answer any further questions.
Mr. Black, I think from an efficiency standpoint for a corporation, it'd be nicer to have a three-year renewal on my on your corporate status rather than yearly. Because even though it takes, you said, 30 seconds to go in and do this, when you're doing them all in 1 year, those 30 seconds add up, and that person could be maybe doing other things that we need to cover. And I know you've been short down there due to budget cuts, and maybe some of this may be a streamline to free up some of those people to do some of those other tasks. And I think it's a convenience for business owners, just so they don't have to keep, you know, they got so many things to do in their business. This is just one more thing, and if they miss it, all of a sudden, they can get a cancellation. And you could be sending out a lot of reinstatement notices, and that is done by mail, by the bill, so we're it becomes paper-intensive to do that. And so I think we need to look at some of this stuff a little more carefully as we go through, because if we're trying to save money, I have no problem with modernization and technology and stuff like that. But at the same time, I think we could be creating a problem that we don't want to create, and then ending up putting on extra fees onto people through the because we sent them out a notice, so we're going to recoup that through charging them a fee. And I don't know if that becomes user friendly in the long run, and that's one of the things I think I'd like to have you guys go back and just take a look at and have a discussion on, so that when we come to Ways and Means that we can have some thought put into whether we want to go to annual or 3 years. I may look at an amendment to change this when we get to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just add some
Mr.
information.
Black.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did have, prior to the year 2000, we did have annual filings for business corporations as well as all the other businesses, and we've continued the other business entities' annual filings. The corporations are the only ones who have more than 1 year as well. At no time have we, in all these annual filing years, when we were dissolving corporations for missing 1 year, the typical number of corporations dissolved was about 6,000 or 7,000. So, which is a small number compared with the total base of corporations that we have. And many of those have, in fact, reinstated each year because they have had it brought to their attention when they do a bank closing or at some other time. So, I guess my point is that we have had the one-year requirement. We had it for almost 15 years, and that was not during that time. That was not perceived as a large issue until the law was changed. Thanks to our witness, we have looked at the question of what would it cost to do it. We'd like to work with you. Between here and the next stop in getting that information together. We did look at that years ago and came to the conclusion that that was not useful for a number of reasons, including costs to the private sector, but I'll have to dig that material out of my files.
Mr. Chair, very briefly, I just want to make sure that I maybe misunderstood your comment a bit, but the 30 seconds that Mr. Black referenced was the 30 seconds that it would take the whoever on behalf of the corporation is filing the registration, not the time it would take the employee of the secretary's office to process each registration. It simplifies the process not only for the secretary's office but for the individual filing on behalf of the corporation as well.
Okay, Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Black, under the current system, how many notices are sent out annually?
Mr. Black.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hilty, that would be approximately 160,000 notices.
Bylaw representative.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Black, I meant notices of failure to file, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hilty, that would be the approximately 6,000 that we were talking about, that I mentioned in my previous statement to the chairman. And so those would be the folks who are dissolved or, in fact, who have missed the third year and are about to be dissolved. So,
Representative Hilty, Mr. Chair, Mr. Black, you're saying that all of the failures to file result in dissolution, that there isn't, in other words, there isn't any point in sending out a notice because no one looks at the notice and says, oh gosh, we need to do this?
Mr. Black.
Oh, I see, Mr. Chairman. I do not have that figure, but if I think what you're asking is, if they get a warning, how many of them then respond and avoid dissolution?
Exactly.
That number I'll have to dig down, Mr. Chairman and Representative Hilty.
Representative Hilty?
Well, Mr. Chairman, let me just say, the Representative Hilty, for the nonprofit and limited liability company filings, it is currently 1 year and out. So you get your notice at the beginning of the year that you need to file, and then if you don't file by the end of the calendar year, there isn't any further notice. The first notice says if you don't file by December 31st, it's calendar year filing, that you will be dissolved. So I guess for those, it's not possible to divide out how many are responding to the notice because the notice is actually the paper form that we're sending out now at the beginning of the year.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. Mr. Dame, just a comment.
I'm Don Dale from Woodbury. I guess I have three responses. Number one, there was something about the new law will have something that requires a warning to be sent before a company is dissolved. And what I object to on page 2, I think it's line 3.9, it's crossing out the language that says by forwardable United States mail. They said the new law says they are going to send a warning, but at least 5 years ago, the warning was going to be sent by email or they were going to post it on some obscure website somewhere. And, you know, if it's not sent by United States mail, at least I'm not certain that I would get it or anybody would get it. So I think it's important that if a warning is going to be sent, it should be by United States mail. The second issue is that if a company is dissolved, the reason for dissolving a company is so that other people can use that corporate name. So if for whatever, you know, Burt Black indicated, if a company is dissolved, it can be reinstated, I guess forever, or within a year or something. But if a company is dissolved, let's say a Dayton company, and somebody else takes that name, if you have, you know, Mr. Jones, who has taken over the name Dayton Corporation and has built a store and he's calling his new store Dayton, and Dayton comes back and says, no, I want the name back, it's going to be a horrendous legal battle if you have two people both trying to use the name. And so I don't know how the mechanics are going to work when Bert says people will be able to reclaim the name after it's been given up. You know, the question is, what if somebody else has taken that name in the meantime? How are you going to straighten it out? And the final comment is, I think the right solution is get rid of corporate registration. I don't think it serves any useful purpose. And there are other ways to determine which names are available by the registered letter. No, just it's a bunch of red tape, and it doesn't serve any purpose. Get rid of registration.
All right. Further discussion? Representative Newman.
Just a real quick comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Coles, I think Mr. Day has a valid point on the issue of notice by if it's coming out by email versus first-class mail. I still don't think that we have reached a point with email that there's any certainty that that message, in fact, is going to be received when compared to the language that is being removed from the statute first-class mail being sent out. And I personally have canceled email addresses because of spam and unwanted messages. So I just ask you to keep that in mind in going forward with this bill.
I think, Representative Newman, we have a little bit of discussion to do to clarify some of this stuff by the time we get to Ways and Means. That's my thought, because I do have some questions, and I think, you know, if the corporation's paying a fee, we kind of owe them a service to make sure that if they forget it, that we use every means possible and notify them. And if we just do it by email, it doesn't work. So
I agree, Mr. Chairman.
So any further discussions? If not, Representative Newman renews his motion that House File 1798, as amended, be recommended pass and re-referred to the Committee of Ways and Means. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion then prevails. All right. Then we'll have some discussion, I'm sure, Representative Cole.
Okay. Quick announcement.
Shortall?
There's a folder in members' packet that says Department of Revenue. Please do not take this with you. Leave it in the packet. It's for another day, more or less. You're obviously welcome to take a look at it, but please do not put it in your recycling pile. And secondly, we have, you all should have got an email, we'll have an additional hearing on Thursday of this week after session at 4 p.m. or after session, whichever is later. That hearing is so far scheduled for room 500 South, next door. This is our busy week as a fiscal committee with the second deadline and things, so we have an additional hearing this Thursday after session in 500 South.
All right. We have Representative Vandeveer. Representative Cornish, do you want to move House File 1806?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move.
Okay. And where does this go? Okay, this one is all the Ways and Means. Okay. All right. Hey, Representative Vandeveer, welcome to the committee. If you may present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1806 extends the life and funding source of the Electronic Real Estate Recording Task Force. The task force is establishing statewide standards for the electronic recording of real estate. Legal analyst Bert Black from the Secretary of State's office is here, and he's going to tell us a little bit about briefly where the task force is today and how close they are to accomplishing their goals.
Welcome. Thanks. Mr. Black, if you state your name again for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Bert Black, business and legal analyst for the Office of the Secretary of State, and I'm pleased to be here to talk about the electronic real estate recording task force, which is a task force that was established in the year 2000. It's been working ever since that time towards the establishment and testing of electronic real estate recording standards, not a hardware or software system, but standards. Let me just explain to you that this is a task force which we've been before the State Government Finance Committee three times previously, actually, and we're glad to be back. We are a public-private partnership. There are of the task force, including pretty much all sectors of the real estate industry. The task force is scheduled to expire on June 30th of this year. We are asking for a two-year extension of the task force, as well as a two-year extension of the funding source. The funding source is a 50-cent surcharge on each filing with county recorders and registrars of title. And I have a letter in support of the extension from the Bar Association. If the page would distribute that to members of the committee. Mr. Chuck Parsons, who's the legislative chair, is the author of this letter. You have a fiscal note before you. Basically, this is not a general fund. It's a miscellaneous special revenue fund surcharge. It is estimated, Mr. Hubinger, I think, prepared the fiscal note, and it is estimated that there will be approximately $1.1 million in these surcharges. That's an estimate based on the recent past. As you may remember, we've had a wave of refinancings, which has been quite the boon for our revenue source. That may be starting to come down now. You'll note that the entire proceeds is appropriated back in the bill to the Legislative Coordinating Commission, so that for the purpose of the task force itself. I can also tell you that we have estimated the costs of Phase 2 and that they will exceed the amount of money to be received under this 50-cent surcharge, but that we believe that we will be handling that either by continuing the contribution of the counties, and there has been a significant contribution by the counties as well as by members of the private sector in terms of their efforts, or we will reduce the number. We currently have 5 pilot counties, which are Dakota, Hennepin, Lyon, Renville, and Roseau counties. We may have to, depending on the distribution of the costs, either ask those counties to self-fund or they may withdraw from this Phase 2 of the pilot. Let me say that Phase 1 of the pilot has been very successful. You have, I believe, in your packets our legislative report. We've also been recently written up in the Hennepin Lawyer magazine, and we're doing a great job of being a leading state in this area. We are national leaders in Minnesota in the area of electronic real estate filing. It is important to also note that that Dakota County is our most advanced county. They have already done several thousand electronic filings, and they're doing them from more than one vendor, which is very important because that's the hallmark of an open systems, many to one kind of relationship. And so we have been very frugal with our funding sources. We have been, in fact, we have the original funding was supposed to last 2 years. We've stretched it out to 3. That will pay for all the Phase 1 filings, which were the satisfactions of mortgage and certificates of release. Now we're moving on to more complicated processes such as deeds and mortgages, and it involves more county offices. The county recorders, the county auditors, and the county treasurers are now all going to have to be talking with each other in these systems and passing around the electronic information. But the main beneficiary here is the public. Once these pilots are over, we will come back to you with these standards to be written into legislation. At that point, any county will be able to implement them, and it's going to take the time for filing. Let me give you an example. In Dakota County, it takes approximately 15 seconds for the filing to be completed and confirmed back to the filer. The current elapsed time in many counties for that kind of a transaction is over a month. So we're looking at some real time savings for members of the public. There is an executive summary in the legislative report, and also we have an extensive website on the LCC website. And finally, Mr. Chairman, I just want to share with you my lunchtime fortune cookie fortune, which says, and I ask Representative Vanderveer to be my witness, it says, this is a great day to handle those real estate matters. Really, it really says that. So we ask for your support.
We need to vote for it, right? Okay. All right, so the cost here is generated through the fees.
Yes,
charged on the real estate, so, and then the money is going to be used to upgrade computer systems and get this thing. Is there anyone here from the counties or anyone who wants to speak for or against this? Okay. All right. Any discussion from members? If not,
Representative Cornish renews his motion that House File 1806 be recommended pass and be referred to the Committee of Ways and Means. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion then prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
With that, members, meeting's adjourned. We, we're scheduled tomorrow to go to 5 o'clock, and hopefully we can get our business done by then, and then that additional meeting on Thursday. So, have a good day.
Good evening. Nice to meet you.